Hello, and welcome to A Brand New Day with BTS, a podcast dedicated to bringing you a day-by-day history and song discussion of the South Korean music group internationally known as BTS. In today's episode, we discuss October 27th in BTS history, which is a roller coaster of a day, but one of the peaks is that it's the anniversary of my favorite Halloween dance practice, which is why we're going to also be talking about the song Go Go and the pointlessness of thrift when the economy is broken. First, recent BTS activity, October 13th to October 21st. I decided the next episode would be on October 27th, which is this episode, and foolishly forgot that I was going to be out of town for a good chunk of the week before. So the news cuts off earlier this episode than I normally would cut it off, because I have to record the episode substantially earlier than I usually record it from release day. I'm also going back to having a script for the news because winging it always made it way too long because I blabbered too much. Jimin did a birthday live stream from his house. He was very cute. Some updates from Jimin were about his appearance at Fashion Week and how he was so nervous and also shirtless that he could see his heart beating in his chest. His dad still gave him birthday money this year, even though Jimin is in his 30s and also a millionaire. Anyway, Jimin was delighted that his dad still gave him money. Recording the album is going well, but they're still not close to done as there might be further revisions still. He also told us the story of the first time he drank whiskey, which he promised to do in Are You Sure? Season 1. He and an unspecified friend bought a bottle of whiskey at the department store and then went home and basically played a Tom Hardy drinking game where they watched a Tom Hardy movie and drank whenever Tom Hardy did. I'd really love to know what movie this is. My guess is that this was probably around 2013. Around debut times. He didn't specify whether he was actually of age to drink or not. He probably was, so it might have been 2014. In any case, if there's any Tom Hardy fans out there who know what Tom Hardy movies might have been the one, let me know. He also told a story about how much he likes running because he can listen to music while he runs and it feels like he's in a movie. It was a really chill live, and it seemed Jimin enjoyed it. So here's hoping that we might get more chill Jimin lives from his house. There were happy birthday posts for Jimin from V, J-Hope, and RM. Those three also went to the W Korea's annual breast cancer awareness event and had a fun time, or so the videos seem. Some of these videos have since been taken down as W Korea has come under fire for possibly misappropriating the fundraising money and being kind of tone deaf in their organization of the event. So that's unfortunate that all those celebrities donated their time only for the effort to possibly be misused. Hopefully W Korea can smarten up and do better next time. MAMA nominations or MAMA nominations came out. So go check out your favorite update account on your favorite social media platform and get details on what you should be voting for. They have all that info, but voting has opened for the fan voting awards. So go have fun. We have nominations for Jin, J-Hope, RM, and V this year. Another big announcement this past weekend on Monday in Korea was that J-Hope will be featuring on Le Sserafim's upcoming release, which will in fact be released by the time you're listening to this, but unfortunately not before I record it, because as I already mentioned, I'm going to be traveling for a few days, so I'm not actually sure when I'm going to be able to listen to this song. I'll have to make sure I bring my headphones with me. Anyway, my prediction is that J-Hope looks and sounds amazing and absolutely killed it. RM and J-Hope have been the most active on Instagram, with Jin and V active in Weaver's comments. JK posted a whole bunch of song recommendations, so you can head over to his special pinned stories on his Instagram to see those. It seems to be the only way he is choosing to use his new Instagram account. Most recently, RM posted old photos of his childhood home. It's super cute, with Winnie the Pooh sheets. And just on the day I'm recording this, JK popped up in a small little Calvin Klein ad. There seems to be a strong possibility for further Jungkook Calvin Klein ads next week, just after this episode airs. So let's all cross our fingers. I've still not recovered from the ones he did before enlistment, and it's been 2 years. And that's where I have to cut off the news so that I can record this and get it uploaded and scheduled for release before I leave town. By the time you're hearing this, Spaghetti by Le Sserafim featuring J-Hope will be released, And also, Jin's encore finale concerts will be happening really soon. At the time I'm recording this, there's still no live streaming info posted, but supposedly it's going to be live streamed. This day in BTS history, October 27th. October 27th, 2011. Namjoon and Hoseok feature on Lee Seung-gi's song To Make You Smile. This is pre-debut, but they are credited as BTS. October 27th, 2013. After debut, but a slow day. Hobie tweets a selfie and Suga also tweets a selfie and a tease about something happening at midnight, which will be the release of his song It Doesn't Matter on SoundCloud. October 27th, 2014. At roughly 200 days after the Sewol ferry tragedy, BTS, with BangPT, visited the bereaved families. They burned incense and mourned with them. They donated secretly 100 million won to the families. While BTS always keep their donations private, in this case, there was an added level of secrecy because the South Korean government at the time was blacklisting anyone who supported the families or made any indication that the government's intense level of incompetence and corruption had both led to and attempted to cover up the disaster. It was only years later, well after that government had thankfully been driven out of office, that the families mentioned BTS's support in the press. October 27th, 2015. The tweet recommends the song Losing You by Aquilo. And then, my favorite, RM tweets a screen cap of a text conversation with his mother, in which she tells him that she saw photos of him at the airport, and his bag doesn't match his outfit. Then she says his fans were wondering what was in his bag, and saying that it was his soul. So RM captioned the tweet, "Mom dissed my horcrux." V then tweets a screen cap of a conversation with his own mother, where he demanded she critique his fashion. She responds that she's busy talking to his father, who is a chatty drunk. And then she tells him that she thinks his personality is cute. On V Live, BTS Gaio track 6 airs. It was filmed at the beginning of the month. I think you can now find BTS Gaio on Weverse. October 27th, 2016. BTS are still promoting Wings and Blood, Sweat, and Tears on Korean music shows. On this day in 2016, they appear at both the 2016 Korean Popular Culture and Arts Awards and M Countdown in Jeju, though the M Countdown performance was likely pre-filmed. Their social media is Jimin and Suga tweeting photos and thanking ARMY. Jimin tweets a photo with the group and Son Sun-duk, their choreographer, and Suga tweets a selfie, and RM recommends the song Bragging and Boastin' by Sound Providers. October 27th, 2017. V tweets a selfie video using a distorted face filter while he recites lines from the K-drama Goblin, because he finds it hilarious. And then we come to the reason I chose Go-Go as the song this week, because October 27th, 2017 is the day that the Go-Go Halloween dance practice was posted to YouTube. I don't know when they filmed this dance practice, but it was probably just earlier that same month. If anyone has any ideas about pinpointing it more exactly, please let me know. They also filmed the Bangtan Bob Go Halloween version behind, of course, which is posted a couple weeks later. This is the dance practice where they dress up as Snow White and Six of the Seven Drawers. I'll talk more about it when I talk about the song, but it's probably my favorite of the Halloween dance practices. October 27th, 2018. BTS have a little vacation at the end of October in 2018. JK and Jimin go to Busan to visit family. V attends a friend's wedding. Suga hangs out with Epic High and then also goes on a little vacation to Jeju. RM goes to Japan with his family and continues his new passion of visiting art galleries. This is also likely when Jimin got his Nevermind tattoo across his right ribcage. This was Jimin's first tattoo and would remain his only one until 2020 when he'd start collecting more. It's based off Suga's song Nevermind from the Most Beautiful Moment in Life Part 2 album. The bridge of the song has the lines, "If there's no way back, go straight. Forget all your past mistakes. Never mind. It won't be easy, but have this engraved on your chest." October 27th, 2019. It's day 2 of the Love Yourself, Speak Yourself finale concerts in Seoul. You can see some of the behinds of this on their YouTube channel in episode BTS at Love Yourself, Speak Yourself in Seoul. Unbeknownst to anyone at the time, this was the finale of what would be their last world tour for 7 years, thanks to a combination of the pandemic and military enlistment. This was also back when Suga would post variations of the same selfie on Twitter and Weverse, which is what he did after the concert was over. JK and Jimin also tweeted selfies this day, and RM posted a photo of a coffee truck sent by some friends. October 27th, 2020. I think BTS may have had this day off, or I just don't know what they were doing. They were filming performances the day before and visiting the Map of the Soul 7 pop-up shop in Seoul the next day, but on this day, the only thing I know is that it was a Tuesday, because Run BTS episode 113 aired, which was one of the school episodes filmed the previous summer. October 27th, 2021. Jin is active on Weverse, and BTS is filming in for their GQ / Vogue Korea January 2022 issues. You can see the behind the scenes in Memories 2021 content. Suga said that he lost 4 kilograms for the photo shoot. October 27th, 2022. We're in chapter 2 now, so BTS are doing separate things at the moment. On this day, RM posts photos of art and general Namjooning activities. Hobi comments on RM's post. BTS retweet Coldplay's tweet that includes a photo of Jin at the concert rehearsal in Argentina, which is where Jin is currently. You can see his activity in the Bangtan Bomb Jin in Argentina. He's enjoying Coldplay concerts and rehearsing for the debut of The Astronaut, which is set to be released the next day. This is also the day he records his March 2023 message from Jin, which are messages that he pre-filmed to be released nearly every month of his enlistment. On this day, we also get Jungkook returning from Qatar, where he had been filming the music video for Dreamers, his World Cup song. October 27th, 2023. V posts a photo of himself taken when he was in France and says not to worry on Weverse. This is because the news broke that a woman was arrested for stalking him in his apartment building. On Instagram, V posts videos and photos of the band from his tiny desk and band session performances. He also shares a post with a jazz cover of Slow Dancing. RM is in Europe, and he recommends Goodbye Evergreens by Sufjan Stevens and also posts a mirror selfie. And I apologize if I said Sufjan Stevens wrong. I realized I've never actually had to say that name out loud before. October 27th, 2024. J-Hope is a free man, the second member to be discharged the week before. On this day, he travels to the U.S. In his words, it was to really shake off the feeling of the military, but he also has very big and very detailed plans which involve meeting up with producers in the U.S. J-Hope posts selfies and photos of his outfit on Instagram to the soundtrack of Heaven by RM. V uses his phone time in the military to post congratulations to a staff member on the occasion of her wedding, posting a collage of photos with her. RM comments on J-Hope's post wishing him safe travels and complimenting his music choice. And that brings us to October 27th, 2025. This year, I have no idea what might be happening, but I do know that I'm thankful that all the boys are free, together, and doing what they love. Song discussion. GoGo. GoGo was released as part of the Love Yourself, Her album on September 18th, 2017. It's the penultimate track, if you don't count the hidden physical album-only track. The Billboard write-up of it calls it a song that approaches criticism of the materialism rife in society through parody. The trick lies in the dissonance between the vibe and the lyrics. It sounds like a tropical party anthem that belongs in an Instagram-worthy getaway, but the words tear off the facade of extravagance. They express the emptiness of the terms like YOLO, through repetition so extensive that the words lose their meaning. The lyrics are thoughtful in their deliberate thoughtlessness. And that's all well and good, but I disagree. Well, I don't disagree with all of it, but some of it. Mainly, I disagree that this is a criticism of materialism through parody. But before I get into the lyrics and meaning, let's talk about videos and performances. There's no official music video, but we do have a dance practice. And not only that, it's a Halloween dance practice. Possibly my favorite of the Halloween dance practices. This one starts with a rock-paper-scissors game to determine which of them will be Snow White, while the others get to be dwarves. After an intense battle, Thee ends up in the role of Snow White, much to his dismay. His unimpressed deadpan performance of the role while he dances only adds to how hilarious it is. Also, his exceptional hand-eye coordination come in handy when he starts getting creative with the apple prop. The rest of the boys are wearing comically large foam feet as their dwarf shoes, and that ends up also being hilarious, as they tend to come loose and fall off in more intense footwork portions of the choreo. RM loses them completely by the end of the performance. Meanwhile, in an effort to keep his shoes on, Suga is doing everything in tiny and kind of shuffling around, and it's adorable. Once the dance ends, V mimes taking a bite of the apple and falling unconscious, while the others crawl forward and mourn him. Meanwhile, for some reason, J-Hope runs off-screen to fetch a money gun and fires it over V's unconscious body. And that's just the Halloween part of it all. When I was Baby Army, this dance practice was actually the first time that I ever heard the song. And even without lyrics, I knew exactly what it was about simply from the choreo and the few English words that I did catch. The dance is irreverent and incorporates a lot of kind of emote dance crazes or Fortnite dance crazes, such as the floss. It's goofy, especially in the Halloween costumes, and carefree. But throughout, there's an air of pointlessness, and I'm not sure how they communicate that, unless it's just baked into the cultural moments they're referencing, or maybe the sequence of them. But I'm getting ahead of myself. For non-Halloween performances, there have been many. They promoted this song on music shows when the album was released, have performed it at concerts and also at year-end music shows in Korea. One of the more famous performances was their Heart performance at MBC Music Festival at the end of the year. Just to explain, in case anyone is listening who is not familiar, when a group is performing a song for the last time on a music show, they will sometimes work in little hearts into the choreo, usually finger hearts and hand hearts, made quickly as they transition between moves. In the case of Go Go, this final New Year's performance, what they did instead was to cut out different sizes of red paper hearts and hide them in various places in their outfits or on the stage where they could be quickly attached to their outfits. If you've never watched it, you really must go look it up. It's my favorite, especially Yoongi putting the heart on his left butt cheek. Later, a photo of him backstage with the heart on his butt would be used by Namjoon during an epic Twitter conversation between the two of them about how Yoongi fell off the office chair that Namjoon gave him and hurt his butt. So, one other thing about the Go-Go performances, but especially the ones they did later on, for instance, at the 2020 BangBangCon The Live Festa concert, is that when the song speeds up at the end and they do the final set of dance moves, Jungkook always, always dances like the rent is suddenly due. He goes all out, and it's intense, completely unnecessary, but absolutely wonderful. Okay, let's get into the lyrics and why I disagree with Billboard. But first, let's have RM weigh in. In his VLive, Love Yourself, Her Behind, which you can now find on Weverse, RM talked a little about each track on the album. For Go Go, he didn't say much, mostly talked about how the song feels fun, the choreography makes it lively, and laughing about memories of them coming up with the opening and the choreography, and if their first ideas were ever released, they'd be embarrassed. RM credits Supreme Boy with most of Go-Go, and as a result claims there's not much for him to talk about. But he does say that it's a sequel to Bepse. And this is exactly how I interpreted it, and why I feel Billboard completely missed the point. Now, most of my listeners are ARMY, who know exactly what I mean when I say Bepse, but for anyone who is Baby ARMY, or just my sister who sometimes listens to this, Bepse, or Silver Spoon, is a song by BTS that's about how the older generations completely ruin the economy and blame the desperate situation the younger generation find themselves in on their lack of effort instead of the fact that, again, the older generations ruin the economy. I've even seen some people say that where Bepse criticized the boomer generation, Go-Go criticizes the younger generation, but that is simply not the case. This song very much carries the exact same theme as Bepse and still criticizes the older generation, while sharing the perspective of the younger generation. If you want a song that criticizes the younger generation, the song you're looking for is Spinebreaker, And that is very much solely a criticism of children who haven't learned how to correctly prioritize things. Go-Go is a song that explains what it's like to be the younger generation, screwed over by the older generation, to the point where it necessitates a complete change in survival skills. So, let's get into it. As Ara mentioned, Go-Go was produced by P-Dawg and written by P-Dawg, Hitman Bang, and Supreme Boy. It's a rare song where none of the BTS members are credited, not even the rappers. But Supreme Boy, as RM's same-age childhood friend, is just as in touch with his own generation as RM is, and is no slouch at writing about it. Just a note, while I talk about the song, I'm going to be referring to the members playing characters, because they are. This song is from the point of view of the Bepsae, or younger generation, not the point of view of idols and musicians. It's the point of view of the average person in their generation, working at likely an office job somewhere. We begin the song with Jimin singing, "Dollar, dollar, spending it all in a snap. Run, run, I earn and I squander." And then repeating the word run in Korean, which sounds similar to the English word dollar. This is, I think, the first play on words in the song, that dollar and run sound so similar. And what do we run for? When BTS speak about running, they're always using it as a metaphor for working hard. So Jimin is singing about how hard he works to make a couple of dollars, that he spends all in one day, squandering his own money. J-Hope comes in for the first verse, which is shared with Jungkook and Suga. He says, "I want to be cruising on the bay, want to be cruising like Nemo." And this is either an uncredited contribution by J-Hope or an example of how Supreme Boy really has the members' voices down, because this could be a reference to Captain Nemo from 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which J-Hope would end up using both to structure and reference in his mixtape Hope World, which would be released about 6 months after this album came out. Or it could be a reference to Finding Nemo, which is certainly what the choreography references here as the members flap their arms like fish fins. J-Hope continues, "Though I don't have the money, I want to leave for somewhere far away. Though I don't have the money, I want to relieve my fatigue. Though I don't have the money, I want to eat Onojiro's food." And although Billboard will cite these lines to prove that the song is a critique of materialism, they fail to back up why those lines support their thesis. Because from my perspective, J-Hope's character is dreaming about things that are outside his reach, given that he continually references the fact that he can't afford them. Jungkook comes in to explain further, and we get to the crux of the issue. "My pay that I earned by working hard all into my stomach. Specks gathered are still specks. Squandering fun, pay it all." The pay that Jungkook's character earns by working only goes to his stomach. Following the Onojiro's food line from J-Hope, which references a famous, expensive omakase experience, I could see the interpretation that Jungkook is spending the money on his stomach at extremely expensive restaurants. And that may well be the case. But it could also be that he's spending his money on decently priced good food, too, and it still takes all of his money to do it. And the key is the line, "Specks gathered are still specks," which references a Korean saying, "Specks when gathered build a mountain," i.e., if you save your money, you'll get a good result. But for Jungkook's character and the younger generation of Korea, and many millennials and younger generations all over the world, that doesn't reflect actual reality, where it's impossible to ever afford to purchase property or build wealth in the current economic conditions. So why be thrifty and deprive yourself of fun experiences if there is no reward for doing so? Suga drives the message home as he joins the song with, "Leave me be, even if I overspend, even if I cancel my installment savings tomorrow morning like a crazy guy." And then Jin comes in on the pre-chorus to tell us why Suga's character would cancel his savings installments. "Woo, there's no tomorrow. My future has already been pawned. Why save for tomorrow if there is no tomorrow?" The pond line could also be translated as put in pledge, and it references the way society is now set up so that major purchases in education can only be done by acquiring debt. Students acquire college debt for their future, and their future becomes about repaying that debt, rather than affording things like property. And likewise, if you're lucky enough to get out of college debt and can cobble together enough money for a small down payment, you might be able to then launch yourself into more debt as you pay down a mortgage. One thing is for sure, as you pay off all this debt, you aren't saving anything to pass on to your children or even necessarily afford a luxury retirement. especially with an economy that seeks to enrich only a few and keep everyone else living paycheck to paycheck. So what is there to do with the meager money each week that doesn't go to bare necessities and debt? Jin continues, "Who spend more of my money? Friends, what's up? Do you want some?" Jungkook comes back in with the lines from the beginning, and then Jimin finishes the pre-chorus with, "Dollar, dollar, till the sun shines in the mouse hole, until the sun rises." The mouse hole line is from the idiom, "Even in a mouse hole, there's a day when the sun shines," which is similar to "every dog has its day." So basically, Jimin's character is living in a mouse hole. Maybe there will be a day when the sun shines, but it's not going to be often or even guaranteed. And Jimin's character will probably be shocked if it ever happens. So before we get to where I do agree with Billboard, let's talk about why I don't agree with them first. For me, this song isn't critiquing the materialism of the younger generation. It's explaining it. Why not go to that nice restaurant with the unexpected extra $100 in your bank account? Why not buy those concert tickets? You only have one life and you don't know how long it's going to last. Experiences are what matters. When all you can afford is food, shouldn't it be good food? There's the classic, now very memed, boomer complaint that if millennials just stopped buying avocado toast, they'd be able to afford a house. But we know the actual economics of that, and for many millennials and even younger generations, affording avocado toast is the only luxury they're going to get in life. They could save all their avocado toast money, and maybe it'll be enough to one day buy them an avocado tree, but it's not going to be enough for them to buy anywhere to plant it. The social critique of this song is still the same as Bepse. It's against the older generations hoarding wealth and ruining the economy so that the younger generations have to redefine what a luxury lifestyle is. And that luxury lifestyle becomes one of experiences and good food because it can't be passing on wealth to their children. Hell, in a lot of places, including, I'm guessing, Korea, having children becomes a luxury that most people can't afford. I saw one YouTube clip recently that priced out the cost of raising a child in today's economy as over $1 million. Sure, it's spread over 18 years, but do you know a bunch of people who have earned $1 million extra in the past 18 years? And would you even kick your child out at 18 and completely financially cut them off? Back to the song, and we'll get into the part where I do agree with Billboard. This song is a really fun sounding track over a message that contains a lot of feelings of emptiness, meaninglessness, and desperation. And we see that as we get to the chorus and the repetition of YOLO, a phrase meaning you only live once for any of you who haven't been on the internet in 25 years. And if so, how did you find my podcast? And YOLO does become meaningless with repetition, causing that feeling of empty words. But it's not the materialistic life that's empty. It's the lie that the younger generation prefer this lifestyle to any alternative. Valuing experience over wealth is great if it's a choice. If it's not a choice, you've got to pretend you like it just so that you can have a reason to go on. Like, oh wow, cruel again, my favorite. Verse 2 is, I think, where VNRM lost Billboard's listener completely, and possibly anyone who reads Genius lyrics and not Dulcet or Bangtan subs. V comes in with, where my money at? Where the party at? My week goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 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 Friday. On first listen, this could sound like a money-hungry partier looking for his next source of wealth and a place to blow it all. But that's undone by his description of his week, and the idea that he might be sincerely asking, as in, where is his money? Where is any money at all for him? Where is there a party? Can people even afford parties? You can misinterpret the four Fridays at the end of the week as him partying like it's Friday night all weekend, I guess. Or Genius and even some of the music shows translate that those Fridays as sounding like the word for gold, as if maybe his weekends are full of gold and wealth, but it's actually him repeating the word Friday. So what he's actually describing is a life with no weekend. They can't afford to rest because they've got to run for any specs at all that they can even hope to gather. And the fact that there are four Fridays at the end of the week also subtly tells us that V's character is working an 8-day work week, which is often a phrase used to describe a job that requires more than 8 hours of work per day. V continues the sentiment by describing his bank account as a bottomless jar that he's pouring water into every day. This isn't a bottomless jar as in it's a magical bag of holding in which you can't see the bottom. No, this is a jar where putting things into it is an illusion. Everything you put in just falls out the bottom and is gone. RM comes in and says that they might as well break it. They're too young to worry all the time. He continues, at least today, rather than worrying, just go. If you keep saving in fear, it becomes poop. Just rub it off. My own interpretation of those lines is that, well, firstly, RM is saying you need some relief from the constant stress. Spending money on your omakase or avocado toast gives you a few moments when you feel like a human enjoying life, rather than someone anxiously trying to make rent every month. The lines, if you keep saving in fear, it becomes poop, just rub it off, remind me more of what I've experienced in my lifetime, which is multiple recessions. Just when you recover, some other economic disaster caused by stupid old white men ruins everything again. You can save your money in fear, but specs gathered stay specs. Or suddenly the stocks you just bought tank because there's a global pandemic and everyone is panicking. I should note, for the sake of fairness, that the global pandemic's recession was the only one not fully blamable on stupid old white men. We get a repetition of the pre-chorus chorus, and then the bridge is a repetition of rather than worrying go, which leads, still repeating, into the post-bridge and outro. Again, using repetition to convey the sort of empty, forced enjoyment of the lifestyle, because it's the only way to survive. And if we're watching a performance at this point, we're thoroughly cheering for Jungkook as he puts 200% into those dance moves. Again, kind of proving the point that the younger generation are working twice as hard, and yet all they get out of it is criticism for attempting to enjoy life through irreverent Fortnite emote-style dances as they scramble to find any way possible to enjoy their present. After all, they only live once, and this is all they're going to get. And on that cheerful note, it's time for me to decide what I'm going to do next time. Looking ahead to November, there's no possible way that I can ignore Namji Day. It's surprisingly eventful. So next episode will be a little Namjoon and Yoongi special, where we discuss November 13th in BTS history, and the song Respect from Map of the Soul 7. It will be released at midnight KST on November 13th at the latest. Thanks for listening. And that brings us to the end of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to discuss this episode, today's song, or have a say in what song gets selected for discussion in the future, you can find me over at Patreon at A Brand New Day Pod. You can also email me at abrandnewdaypod@gmail.com or find me on Blue Sky under A Brand New Day Pod. Thanks. Have a good rest of your day.